The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, a sunny Tuesday here in Southern California. We're talking NBA on the phone right now. My buddy Joe House, what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
So I have a ballot this year for the NBA Awards. What do you think of that?
It's a mistake.
It feels like a mistake, right? I feel like it's a joke or something.
An oversight.
And it's kind of fun. They mail you this document. It's got all these awards. You got to write the guys' names in and all that stuff. So I thought I'd fill my ballot out as a podcast with Joe House chiming in and helping me shape my picks.
Yeah.
And then we could talk about the playoffs after. But it was a surprisingly fun process, and I wanted to include America. First off, Joe, the Kia Sixth Man Award ballot. I don't know if all these are named after Kia or what's going on, but
I think they are all named after Kia.
So
do you have to say it?
Well, it feels like this is a unanimous one, and I think it's going to be nice for this guy to win the award because his career was just ended by Ron Artest.
He certainly has a headache still.
James Harden, I think, is the clear winner. I mean, it's Jason Terry, I guess, is in there. I can't even really think of who else jumps out. Maybe Taj Gibson?
Yeah. I hate to call it a no-brainer after the head injury he just suffered, but it really is a no-brainer.
Too soon.
What do you mean?
he was a great sixth man. And actually, like, it was interesting with him and Terry, like, both of those guys playing big minutes as six men, kind of old school. It brought me back to the days of McHale in the early 80s.
Yeah, I mean, these days, Harden would start on about 29 teams.
Yeah, and they're really screwed with him for – they're going to have to pay him an Ibaka, and there's no way around it. And, by the way, I'm totally fine with James Harden getting overpaid. Pretty sure he's a restricted free agent maybe a year from now. They could avoid that by giving him an extension this year. But if he's on the open market, somebody's overpaying him.
Well, let me ask you this. How, in view of what they're facing in terms of having to pay both those guys, how do we feel about the Perkins trade now? Does that alter things at all?
I think how they do in the finals this year will determine how we feel about the Perkins trade.
We'll know that answer. Because, I don't think I've heard a lot of Kendrick's name this season.
I'll tell you, he's been, a defensive anchor to some degree. I think he's definitely overpaid. I don't think they would give him that contract again.
Right.
I don't, he's overpaid, but if you had him for $6 million a year, you'd be happy, right? So he's getting nine. So he's overpaid by three. I don't think it's a gigantic deal.
And the counterpoint is that's how much Andre Blatch is making.
Slightly unpopular opinion coming up.
Okay.
I don't know if Serge Ibaka should make eight figures a year.
Interesting.
I mean,
he's in the discussion. I know we're not there yet, but he's in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
And you really don't think that a top five defender in the league deserves eight figures?
Well, here's my thing about eight figure guys. Especially with the way the salary cap is going to go backwards and really make it hard for teams to do this. Like,
wait. Why do you think it's going backwards?
Well, it's eventually going to end up at a place. In 2-3 years from now, it's going to be. Isn't it going to be at least a little bit lower than it was in the past?
I don't think so.
You sure?
I haven't been monitoring league attendance or anything. I don't know how basketball-related income has behaved this year. I haven't seen any of the numbers, but...
That's because I'm an idiot. I was thinking of the luxury tax.
Oh.
Yeah, they moved that backwards.
Yeah.
But...
And I agree, you're an idiot.
I am an idiot. But just in general, haven't we seen that unless somebody is one of the best three guys on your team, you should probably avoid paying that person $12-13 million a year.
Well, the Thunder have the luxury of having four great players.
Well, Ibaka's not great. I think he does some really good stuff.
Top five defender in the league. That doesn't deserve great.
My issue with that team is what we watched on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, Harden was concussed, and if Westbrook and Durant are missing jumpers, that's usually when they rely on Harden to kind of create stuff with slash and kick or posting up, but all the stuff he does. We love James Harden. At the same time, it just, they always have two guys out there who don't shoot. It's a pretty easy team to stop. You and I have the same concerns about this team heading into the playoffs. It just seems like when Westbrook and Durant can't make jumpers, there's literally no plan B with this team.
But that's a design problem to me, and that I wouldn't hang a whole ton of that on Ibaka.
Well,
now, is
it smart to pay, you know, you could look 2 years from now, you're paying $20 million a year for Perkins and Ibaka, neither of whom can shoot. And when you play both of them at the same time, you're 3-on-5 offensively.
And is it true that Perkins just can't touch the ball? I mean, that's the thing that I wonder. He just can't touch the ball in the post in the fourth quarter.
It's just not a great idea. The Celtics would always kind of get him involved a little bit in the first quarter to make him happy, and then the last 6 minutes he doesn't touch the ball. And he's also not crazy about getting fouled either. You know, I kind of feel like one of those guys should be out there, not two. I like when they played Durant at the four. I don't know what those five-man unit plus-minus things are, but it just seems to me like they're at their most dangerous when Durant's at the four, Westbrook and Harden are out there, and then they have that fifth perimeter guy.
Yeah, I definitely like Durant closer to the basket in the fourth quarter.
I like when Durant – yeah, I like when he has to rebound more. It's almost like very similar to with Carmelo Anthony. When Carmelo moved to the four for the Knicks, it kind of opened up his game more because he's an undersized four, but is a really tough matchup because he's just big enough that he can guard just about anybody as long as it's not like Zach Randolph.
Yeah, and Durant's true gift is speed.
Yeah.
Speed at the four.
Played center in college.
Sure.
But like, you know, the Knicks played the Celtics that last time. They put Carmelo at the four. And the Celtics have Brandon Bass, a power forward. Brandon Bass, not somebody that can really punish you on the low post. Like, he's a jump shooter. That's a great matchup for the Knicks. You have Carmelo and Brandon Bass. So now the Celtics have to move people around. So I don't know. But anyway, I think Durant gives Oklahoma City similar matchup problems when they play him there.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting with the Thunder. I think that Perkins is expendable. You made the right observation, which is let's see what happens this postseason before we make any proclamations about it. But
here's the thing. They're going to probably have to go through Memphis here. And you and I both think Memphis is the team to watch in the West. I've said it all year. I have not wavered from it. It's the team that I think is the most frightening. And
I mean, they're just as loaded as last year. Just as loaded.
Yeah, I like them more than last year. That means they're not getting the same Zebo.
Right.
But Rudy Gay's in there instead of Battier, which is a major upgrade. And Conley's playing a lot better.
Yeah, he's playing a lot
and actually,
better.
And actually, O.J. Mayo's playing better. And I don't know. I like that team. I just like the way they're structured. Their perimeter defense is as good as anybody's. They can lock people down. And they have big bodies. And you look at that Oklahoma City team, and they need Perkins and Ibaka in that series against those big guys, which means they're going to be playing 3-on-5 in every crunch time.
I think that Memphis team, it feels to me like some of those Pistons teams. They're a real throwback team to me. They're so unique in it compared to what the NBA, you know, the current version of the NBA.
People think I'm nuts, but I really, if I had to bet on one team, bet my life on one team to make the finals, I would pick them. At San Antonio. Well, if there was a gun to my head and somebody was like, you have to pick a team, I really feel like I would pick Memphis.
Wow, over San Antonio.
Yeah, I think I would. The thing that worries me about that San Antonio team is it does seem like this reminds me of what happened to the Bird-McHale Celtics in the 80s, where they all of a sudden they were a little too below the rim. and you can kind of go above the rim, and like really athletic teams could give them trouble.
So who fits that description?
Or big teams like that Bynum 30 rebound game, I feel like that had to have meant something.
Yeah, but the Spurs beat the living daylight.
No, though. I know they did. I'm just saying, okay. Like, I just worry about them in the playoffs just getting overpowered by a bigger team.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be a great playoff.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
We've only done one pick.
Yeah, yeah, let me keep going. Rookie of the Year. By the way, this is the Kia Rookie of the Year for 2012. I don't care if Kyrie Irving missed the last 12 games. I think anybody who doesn't vote for him is insane.
I agree. Who else could you possibly vote for?
You can't.
Only like two other names I would think of who played all season, and that's Kyrie Leonard and Kenny Faried, the Manimal, who I love.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to him. So the thing with Irving that, you know, the stats, the fact that they were so good for most of the year when him and Varejão were in there, and they're basically a 500 team almost.
Yep.
And the other thing that's interesting with him is his crunch time stats. I love those 82games.com, their crunch time stats.
Yeah.
Irving's like field goal, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say it was like 59% or something crazy. Like he was like a real closer in crunch time, which I don't think anybody expected.
The stat that I saw that jumped out at me was that there has only been one other rookie to average 18 points and 40% from three. Can you guess who that is?
Michael Beasley. No, I don't know who.
Larry Bird.
Oh, the legend.
Yeah.
Your Interesting.
Guy. 18 points and 40% from three.
So I have Rubio third. I think he has to be on here because that was a playoff team, and he was so memorable even for the first couple months. I know he missed 45% of the season or whatever it worked out to, but he basically missed the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
I still
have any argument with that.
I still think he's top three. I loved watching him. I thought he had a profound effect on that team. It was vindicated. They fell apart as soon as he got hurt.
Made that team fun to watch.
And was much, much better defensively than I thought he was going to be. I knew he was going to be one of those jump in the passing lane guys, but I never expected him to be somebody who really could agitate good scorers.
That and the fact that he came out and really shot the ball well this year.
Well, until he had a cold streak, but yeah.
But comparatively.
He was at least streaky, which we were, nobody expected anything other than streak in his boxers. The number two pick.
Yeah.
You mentioned him earlier.
Okay.
No brainer.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, just from watching the games, the Manimal.
Yeah. Does he go by Kenneth or can we call him Kenny? Seems like he goes by Kenneth.
I kind of like the Kenneth. It makes him sound tougher. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I liked him. I remember in my trade value column, I put him in the honorable mention. He hadn't even been playing yet, but I had just seen a couple flashes from him, like, whoa, this guy's going to be good. Like, you just see it.
Yep.
And then he finally started playing after the Nene trade. And, you know, I'll tell you, I think KG's had a really good season. We'll get to him. He made KG look like he should retire in this game in Denver. Like, it really looked like you watched this game that he had against KG. And this was right when the Celtics were kind of surging a little bit, or at least, like, showing some signs of maybe coming back. And he just ate up the Celtics. And in general,
he's exactly the wrong guy for KG to have to go up against.
Yeah, yeah. He's too old to deal with somebody like that. But
yeah, that guy's pure motor.
This guy was advertised as a motor guy, rebounder, energy guy.
Yep.
And he's actually better than that.
He's better than that for sure.
But he is all those things, but at the A+ caliber of all three of those things. He will have meaningful moments on really good teams, I feel like.
It's clear why Denver felt so comfortable letting Nene go.
I think he went 21st in the draft, and yeah. I didn't really see him in college. I just knew what the word in the street with him, what the motor was, and I was hoping he was going to drop to the Celtics because he was kind of what we needed. It seems kind of crazy that he fell that far.
It just seems like it's one of those things. He went to a small school, didn't he? Wasn't he a D2 player?
Went to a small school, but if you can rebound, you can rebound. It doesn't really matter if you're at the YMCA or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he led the NCAA in rebounding 3 years, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's so athletic. It's just hard for me to believe that other guys went in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, that singular skill all by itself ought to translate into something that's better than top, you know, it ought to be inside the top 20.
It's not rocket science. Like, you need one A-plus tool and you're going to have a good NBA career. Like, this is why, like, Novak was on five teams and now he's finally thriving on the Knicks. And this is why Matt Bonner's turned into a decent Spur. And, you know, if you can find somebody who can shoot threes like that, eventually that guy's going to make it for somebody.
Yeah,
you can find
sure.
somebody who can rebound and block shots, that guy's going to make it for somebody. Like, I don't know. I don't know who the next Novak is, but I remember watching Novak on the Clippers in the warm-ups and just thinking, like, wow, this guy is really good at shooting three-pointers.
You mean like a guy coming from college in terms of the
Or just
Novak?
Like somebody who's like a young first- or second-year guy right now who might be a next Novakian. Maybe some in college, I don't know. But, you know, I know that teams have trouble identifying because you can shoot threes while in college,
yeah.
But they're, what are they, 2.5 feet closer? And some people have 22-foot range, but not 24.5-foot range.
Yeah, right.
So it gets dicey, and it's always like, it's a hard thing to figure out. I personally have 20-foot range. I know you've been following my hoops comeback.
Oh, your comeback, yeah.
Yeah, we're real interested. But what I've learned is that my 3-pointer is basically gone, but I can still make 20-footers.
Honestly, every time you reach out to me about basketball, I'm just relieved when the lead isn't that you blew out, you know, your Achilles.
Yeah, it's probably coming soon. In fact, I'm playing today, and it'll probably happen. Let's go to the Kia Coach of the Year.
Okay.
This also is sponsored by Kia. I'm sensing a theme. I'm picking Greg Popovich. Why isn't he the Coach of the Year?
Well, it's a great year for Coach of the Year candidates.
Yes.
You could really talk about six or seven guys and
you
make
could.
Legitimate arguments for all six or seven. I'm fine with Popovich. I'm honestly fine with any of the six or seven. I would be fine with Frank Vogel. I would be fine with Scott Brooks. I'm not calling him Scotty anymore after that Twitter link.
Yeah, there's a male porn star named Scotty Brooks with an IE.
And it hurt my eyes. I can't believe you did that to me.
I know. I loved it. I was so happy.
Scott Brooks for the rest of his life, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe that's why he went by Scott Brooks.
He might be S. Brooks, in fact. I might not even call him by Scott anymore.
People were suspicious how I stumbled upon that Twitter account. I just wanted to explain myself. So Scotty Brooks was wearing a terrible tie on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe it would be a fun sports blog post for Grantland to do the photo collection of all of his terrible ties that he's worn, because it's clear that they don't have any men's stores in Oklahoma City that have clothes that cost more than maybe $200.
Uh-huh.
And I thought you spelled his name with the IE.
Yeah.
So I Googled Scotty Brooks, and one of the first things that came up was this male porn actor.
Oh, dear.
And that's when I made the mistake of clicking on that person's Twitter page.
Yeah.
And there were some tweets that maybe I wasn't prepared for at 10:30 in the morning. Anyway, so I think that's why Scott Brooks is now Scott Brooks. This might be my favorite either-or celebrity thing. I mean, does it get any better than the Scotty Brooks? One guy's an NBA coach. The other guy is just a male porn actor with a picture of himself shirtless as his Twitter avatar.
How many more either-ors are there out there?
To me, that's the number one. Top it. Just see if anybody can top it. Just top it for me. All right. So Popovich, just the way he handled the schedule, they had half a year of Manu.
Yep.
That he managed the minutes, I thought, just brilliantly. Duncan basically played 28 minutes. He rested him at the perfect time.
Yeah.
He got he integrated Kawhi Leonard in there.
What about the transformation of that team from defensive lockdown to leading the league or their first or second in points per possession, though?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And also, I feel
with that personnel.
I feel like Thiago Splitter got better.
I think he did get better.
Is it wrong to like Thiago Splitter? I don't know. I need a ruling on this. Like,
I think we can do pending, right? Let's see the playoffs. Let's see him in the playoffs.
Man, I watch him and I think, like, if I was a GM and he was a free agent, I could see myself talking myself into like a $24 million 3-year contract for him or something.
I'd rather have him than Andre Blatch.
Wow, that's, yeah.
I know, I should
talk. And then they figured out a way to just integrate these anonymous swingmen, like Danny Green and Gary Nail. These guys, they just kind of find a target.
It's like plug and play. I mean, they don't miss George Hill one bit.
Well, this is why you know, I just think it's crazy for any NBA GM to ever overpay a swingman in free agency. You know, like when the I never liked the Clippers Caron Butler move, and I maybe I'll like it more in the playoff start, but I just don't understand why you'd pay $8 million for him when these guys are out there every year. And it should be your job to find whoever this year's Danny Green is.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, though. It's not it's the finding, but it's also the organizational, institutional fortitude to take that player and teach him up properly, coach him up properly, so they fit in, know what they're doing, and contribute at their max level.
Yeah, and to know, like, here's what we need from you. We need these three things. You need to guard people on the perimeter. You need to make three-pointers from these three spots. And you need to shut the F up and remember that this is Duncan's team and Manu's team and Parker's team. That's it. If you can't handle those three things, you're out.
I mean, that's what sets the Spurs apart.
Yeah, they're the best.
They're the best.
And then when you see them in person, you realize Popovich is the best coach in the league. And he just has total command on that team.
Do you really? Let's do 2 seconds on Thibodeau, though.
Yeah, I have him second.
I mean, they played without their best player almost 50% of their games this year, and they're tied for the best record in the league.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Has him playing really hard. It was very close. I just feel like Popovich, I don't even think he's won Coach of the Year more than once.
Is that true?
Yeah. And Thibodeau won last year, didn't he?
Okay. Thibodeau did win last year.
Yeah, he can't win back-to-back coach of the year.
I mean, he did a better job this year than last year, I would say.
Well, so did Popovich, though.
Okay, I'm fine with it. I just thought we ought to have a little.
No, I'm glad we did. I think I think they're dead even, and Popovich gets the push only because it just felt like. So he lost Manu for half the year too, so that cancels that out, and then.
It wasn't half the year, but still.
The way he managed Duncan this year, I thought was really brilliant. Because after seeing Duncan in person, he's playing on one leg.
Yeah.
And it's all memory at this point for him. Yeah. And then just like the fact that he's so, you know, that's why they call him the fundamental. So fundamentally sound, so smart. But from a body standpoint, his body's gone. You know, he's on one leg. You just go to a game and watch him. He plays on one leg.
We'll see him in the playoffs here.
So for the three, this could have gone 40 ways. I went Doc Rivers.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just that team could have self-combusted five different times during the season, and he just wouldn't let it happen. And just I went from like, all right, if you switched him for another coach, what would have happened? And I don't know if many other coaches, if any, could have handled the roster the way he did, especially all the trade rumors, like Rondo, and trade rumors multiple times. And they lost five guys during the season, including two to heart injuries. And, you know, I just felt like he dealt with the most. My very, very close number four was Ty Corbin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Over Alvin Gentry.
Yeah, because Alvin Gentry has the Nash thing.
Yeah, okay.
Like, who's the emotional anchor of that Utah team? I watch them now, I don't even know. Like, they go to Al Jefferson in crunch time. Millsap, you know, they feed off him a lot.
That would be my answer to the emotional anchor.
Devin Harris has turned into, like, a viable NBA starter again.
That's the most surprising rejuvenation. I would have never in a million years bet $10 on that.
Ever. Thought he was done. And even this season, I thought he was done.
Exactly right.
He's averaging, I think, 18 points a game and shooting like 45% from three in April. If you look at what happened with Utah this last month, they're like a stealth sleeper in round one because Gordon Hayward, all of a sudden has turned into a real two guard. Like
he can play, it seems.
Yeah, he takes big shots and makes them, but he's also over 40% from three now. And then Harris is playing well all of a sudden. Yeah. And Millsap and Jefferson are playing well. They have four guys who can score at the end of games now. And a guy who can draw double teams in Jefferson. I don't think that's an easy first round out. If I'm San Antonio, I don't want to play Utah. I want to play Phoenix.
I don't think Utah can beat anybody, but it's a much better team than they seem to be on paper. And all credit. I'm with you on Corbin. All credit to him for, managing them to hold it together the entire season.
Yeah.
You know, they were not a flash in the pan. They were the opposite of the Sixers.
Scottie Brooks not in the discussion for me.
Why not? He has two top 15 players.
He has two guys that average a combined 57 points a game. I'm pretty sure anybody can go 46 and 18 with the team that he has. It's
okay.
Just offensively, I'm still waiting for, like, for instance, that Laker game. How is he not telling those guys to go to the rim?
It is weird.
Hey, Russell,
weird,
you're not making a jump shot. Go to the effing rim. What
it
are you doing?
Weird.
Go to the
true.
Rim. Bird, you know, Laker legend. If the shot wasn't going in, he went down low. That's what he did. And that's what Durant just hasn't learned how to do. If he just keeps shooting and keeps shooting. And I think the coach tells him that. But I'm not saying he did a bad job, but I don't.
Yeah, 46 wins is pretty good.
To me, Lionel Hollins, with playing without Z-Bo for half the year, and half of his players were in trade rumors. And
you're not going to give any love to Mike Brown?
Oh, God, no. Oh, God. The Laker fans are laughing hysterically right now. No, I think that
I
was
felt a, like I needed to make it, you know, that's a rhetorical interjection.
I think they won. They did. They succeeded despite him. And same thing with Vinny Del Negro. I think that very similar situations with the two LA teams. Is there any other coach we forgot? Ty Corbin.
I had parentheses around Mike D'Antoni. Well, you know, they did get Jerry. He did put Jeremy Lin into the starting lineup, and the Knicks are now going to make the playoff as a 7 seed, very possibly,
because
of it.
You vote for him. Good luck with that.
I had parentheses around it.
Let's go to the Hyundai Defensive Player of the Year. It's Kia.
Oh.
Yeah, I was kidding. Some Kia representative just flipped out for a second. Really interesting. There's four candidates here for Defensive Player of the Year. First of all, I'm fine with Tyson Chandler winning, and I'm going to vote for him.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you.
I don't know if he was better or worse than Dwight Howard, Kevin Garnett, or Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
But he had a much higher degree of difficulty with the terrible defensive teammates that he has. Some of the worst defenders in the entire league on his team.
Again, and I hate to, I don't mean this in a serious way, but it seems to me that defense really clicked in right around when Lin started playing. I mean, they really gelled team defense-wise. It looked like they finally all were on the same page in terms of lockdown. I mean, Shumpert was kind of out there, but like they all found that defensive rotation.
Yeah.
And maybe I didn't watch enough of the Knicks before Lin arrived, but they looked really discombobulated the games I did see. And when Lin came in, it was his magical transformation. I don't know. Those rotations, they locked it down. And then that's just carried through.
Yeah, I mean, there's times when he plays with Baron Davis, Steve Novak, Carmelo, and Amari.
That's crazy.
He's playing with three of those four at all times.
Yeah.
None of those guys can guard you.
I agree.
So, I don't know.
I still have my hook shot.
I have Garnett number two.
Yeah. That's because you are who you are. I would not have Garnett number two.
Who would you have number two?
I would have Dwight Howard number two.
Well, I think he's literally and figuratively the number two. Listen, I'm glad I have a ballot this year because I can at least use it in somewhat of a protest for Dwight Howard. And the fact that he was such a lousy teammate this year, and you know, I'm definitely
it's
not
tough
giving
to say that he's a lousy teammate, though.
Why?
Because they're so much worse when he's not playing.
True.
And he played hard. He didn't. He wasn't going through the motions. He was a better teammate for Orlando this year than Melo was for Denver last year.
Or Melo was for the Knicks for the first 2 months this year.
Sure. I mean, that's a reasonable thing to say.
I don't know. We went to that game. We went to that Indiana game. And
he played his butt off. They won.
It was like watching. It was like he had no correlation to his teammates.
I don't know.
He had no interactions with them.
They won the game.
And I just feel like he's just has no leadership qualities at all. Zero. Chandler. I feel like Chandler's always kind of drawn in his dudes. just making sure, hey, picking this guy up, that guy up, barking instructions, all that stuff. I might be too biased against Dwight, but
I think you're giving him too much of a hard time because of all the drama. I don't like any bit of that drama either, but I mean,
no, why don't you defend a coach killer?
he is a singular talent. I mean, you know, talent carries a day for me, that's all.
I have KG second because he was just the defensive anchor of that team. He covers up for everybody. He ended up playing center even though he didn't want to because the Celtics just didn't have anybody else. He had a huge impact on Steemsma, who played 12 minutes a game in college and now has become a viable backup center, and I think KG has as much to do with that as anybody. He is playing with Brandon Bass, who's like 6'7", and is really like their only like shot blocker, rotator, guard the rim guy. And I think the Celtics have turned into a really good team.
You made a fine case. I don't think he deserves number two, but that's fine.
It doesn't matter because I think Chandler's going to win. And then for the third, I have Dwight Howard over Ibaka. Like, to me, the defensive player of the year, the quality that I want the most is, like, you got to be the anchor.
Yeah.
You're not just a good defensive player. You want to be the guy who kind of the port in the storm, you know? And I don't know if Ibaka is totally that. I think he puts up huge block stats. He's the most electric defensive player.
Right.
It would be interesting to see what would happen if, like, you just switched him with Chandler. Would the Knicks be better or worse? I don't know.
Oh, I think we already know the answer to that.
Yeah, he's not. So I have him fourth.
That's fair. I think that's a good place for him.
Big respect to what he did this year, and I do think he's going to keep getting better, and he'll end up being on this list.
The three guys ahead of him on the list are all guys that you could point to in a fourth quarter in a game that really mattered and say those guys made great defensive plays. Serge, not there yet.
Right. We forgot when we were doing the sixth man of the year, forgot to say it. Jason Terry, the clear number two. And then I voted for Taj Gibson third.
That's fine. I don't care about who's coming in third for the sixth man of the year.
Me neither. That's why we skimped over it.
I would have had Lou Williams.
Lou Williams?
Instant offense.
Most improved.
Yeah.
Player of the year.
I like that.
Controversial category.
I'm interested in hearing.
Controversial. A lot of controversy.
I have a thought on this
category is presented by BMW.
No, it's not.
No, it really is.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's presented by Kia.
Oh,
what
a relief.
Yeah. I have a feeling that they sponsor all of these awards. So I picked Nick Pekovic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. Why did you do that?
Because I thought when I think of a guy like that I watched last year compared to a guy I watched this year, he's the one that jumped out the most.
I have five guys. Named Nick Pekovic.
I don't feel great about it. I just think he was the best one. If Rubio had played the whole season, anytime he was out there with Rubio, I really liked the pick and rolls and the stuff they did. I thought him, Rubio, and Love were just great together. I think he's a legit center.
It's a full-on chemistry selection by you, because there isn't any particular statistical category you can point to and say he made leaps here or there. I mean,
he made leaps
in all of them for him, relative to him, but not in terms of a league impact kind of way.
Well, they're relative. Like, the case against him is that he basically all his averages went up because his minutes went up.
I mean, that's a fair argument to make against him. I mean, his minutes went up because he played better.
And also, I never bought. I think that's such like a lame argument when you say like, "Whoa, this in limited minutes, he did the same production." It's like, yeah, because it's easier to play in limited minutes. You get to go try as hard as you can. Like when you're
How
playing.
How about this? There's a reason he plays limited minutes.
Yeah, because he wasn't good.
Right.
And I watched him last year, and I thought he was a stiff. You know, I thought that was somebody like they were going to have to buy out or throw into a trade. And now I feel like that's one of the best contracts in the league. He only makes like $4.5 million. He's a banger. He's tough. He knows what to do on those high screens. You know, I thought he protected Kevin Love. I just really liked him. And then you throw in the tattoos and his general aura and the fact that he's probably killed multiple people in past lives.
That's not nice.
Nah, it's getting carried away.
Well, that's interesting. I liked Ersan Ilyasova for this.
Had him second.
Okay. Why do you prefer?
You know what it was? I don't know. I just...
Because Minnesota's not better than Milwaukee.
No.
I mean, maybe both teams at even strength. Which team is better? Do you think Minnesota's better?
Yeah, now you're convincing me to switch my pick.
Ilyasova, this is the thing that clinched it for me. He shot 45% from three this year. He's played in every game for them, I think, nearly every game.
And they almost made the playoffs with them. That's my telephone. I'm going to turn that off.
And he took a pretty significant number of threes. I mean, it's not like he's shooting 45% on 60 attempts.
Ah, listen, you're making good cases. I think I like Pekovic too much. I'm glad we're doing this podcast. Oh my God.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to turn my phone off. Turn off!
Is this the first podcast you've ever done?
Apparently. Yeah, you're probably right. I should vote for Ilyasova. I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Who would you have at number three?
Listen, I can't put Ryan Anderson because during the last year, during the last, like, I'm going to say 6-8 weeks.
Yeah.
He did this last year.
Yeah, okay.
I don't feel like he's improved. He improved last year. Last year was when we realized Ryan Anderson's really good.
Yeah.
Or not really good, but he's a really good guy to have as a role guy on your team.
The thing I'm happiest about is that, and I've seen this a little bit on the internet, people are saying that Andrew Bynum is the most improved. That is so stupid. I'm so glad that his name hasn't come out of your mouth for this as a potential.
No, I'm not even dignifying your comments.
Good. I'm glad. I'm talking about how dumb the internet is.
And then number three, I just picking Linsanity just as respect pick.
Yeah, respect.
For the fact that he was barely in the league last year.
I agree.
And,
no argument. I love the Insanity.
You know,
the only other guy that I really gave any thought to, and I didn't mean to cut you off, we could keep talking about Insanity if you want. The only other guy I thought about was Dragic. Dragic.
Yeah. No, Dragic. He's in the mix. It was either him or Lynn for the third spot. And my only thing with Dragic, here's what I stood with that. I feel like he could have always done this. He just needed playing time. I've always liked Dragic. Dragic beat the Spurs. He killed the Spurs in a playoff series.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not like this came out of nowhere. Like, I think Ilyasova and Pekovic. Is it Pekovic or Pekovic?
I'm going to just go with Pekovic. We're these names.
I need to hire like a pronunciation consultant for Grantland that could just walk me through all the pronunciations. I felt like those guys got significantly better. With Dragic, I just felt like he always needed to play, and now he's playing.
He was just doing Dragic things.
I do feel like they could have more awards. Like, I feel like there should be a Kia, wow, that guy's not effing terrible award. Because I would give it to Gustavo Ayon. I watch Gustavo Ayon, I go, wow, that guy, you know, that guy's not terrible.
He's a second year, that's why he's not eligible for Rookie of the Year.
I think this is his first year.
Oh, so he would have been eligible for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
He is eligible.
There should be some sort of award for just random dudes on bad teams that kind of catch your eye and make you go, well, that guy might someday be on a good team. And I feel like Gustavo Ayon would be the winner of whatever that award is called, but would definitely be presented by Kia.
I don't know that I have a guy that I can name.
All right.
Off the top of my head. I'm going to think about it while we're talking. The other noteworthy left out of the discussion for most improved, Boogie Cousins.
Most improved because he's not quite as crazy as he was at the beginning of the year?
Because he killed his coach and then he went off.
Yeah. I'm not rewarding Boogie.
He averaged a double-double.
He did.
It's pretty good.
The team has a weird vibe to it, though. It's Somebody's really going in that team, and it's not going to be Boogie. I think his name rhymes with Kai Peak.
Lifeek.
If you're Charlotte,
yep.
Don't you roll the dice with Tariq Evans?
Oh, they have to. They have to do anything they can do to start getting NBA players onto that team and into that city.
Yeah. If they don't win the lottery and they end up with like the third or fourth pick,
yeah,
I don't see how it helps them to just make that pick.
I agree.
I think they need to get at least a young up and comer guy potentially who could whatever. Do we think Tariq Evans is salvageable though?
Yes, I do.
Is he just a good stats bad team guy? He's kind of the ultimate example of it, right? Like he looks like we've said this the entire time he's been in the league. It doesn't look like he's fun to play with in any respect. You would not want to play pickup with him. He's the guy in pickup where you're like, oh, crap, this guy's going to shoot again. He is going
to
put it up.
He needs to be on a team where his touches are disciplined. He has undisciplined touches. It kind of reminds me in high school. No, I'm sorry.
Is it wrong to say that his destiny in the league is to come off the bench and be the instant offense guy for a contender?
But that would be kind of a great role for him.
He's overqualified for it, but at the same time, it's kind of what he should be.
It's kind of what he should be. That's right.
He plays 25 minutes a game and takes 17 shots in those 20. He's basically like the best version of J.R. Smith ever.
He's a much better version of Lou Williams.
Yeah.
The thing about Tyreek that sets him apart is he can really rebound if he wants to.
Yeah, I don't know what we do with him. I really have no idea where his career is going to go because the one thing about him is in the open court he's breathtaking.
He can't be on Sacramento. That's the one thing. That's the one answer.
He's like in the – I think LeBron is the ultimate example of this. Westbrook's like this too. When guys you see in person that when they have a head of steam, you just know they're going to score.
Yeah.
There's not many guys like that, and Tyreek Evans is on that list.
You know who's approaching that list? John Wall.
Oh, boy.
Come on! Johnny Wall!
Serious question.
Go ahead.
In 2000, what year was John Wall the number one pick? 2010?
Yes.
2009, huge rivalry between Avery Bradley and John Wall in high school.
Oh, I think I knew about this. I think I heard about this.
It's a big conversation. Who was better, all that? John Wall goes to Kentucky. Avery Bradley goes to play for the terrible Rick Barnes. Drops out of the lottery. Almost really falls out of the league. Now has been salvaged. Avery Bradley versus John Wall. Who would you rather have?
John Wall. What kind of question?
I know. I just wanted to get you fired up.
I'm not fired up.
I do think Avery Bradley will have
a respectable career.
No, I think he's going to have a really good career.
Okay.
I really like Avery
Bradley. We might
Bradley.
Have to have a wager on that. We'll have to define respectable versus really good.
I really like Avery Bradley.
All right.
I like Avery Bradley to the point that I might adopt him as my third child.
Oh, Jesus.
I love Avery Bradley. I haven't been this attached to a Celtic player in a while because I've been calling it for a couple months. Like, this guy should be playing. Why aren't they playing this guy? And now I feel like incredibly vindicated by the whole thing. And I love being right. And it happens so rarely that I'm just so attached to him.
The playoffs start in a week or 10 days. How soon?
You watch what.
That's where I'm going. You know where I'm going with this. Let's see.
All right. Joe Johnson, if you're listening, there's somebody out there named Avery Bradley who's going to be living in your gym shorts.
I need to see it.
Avery Bradley. Watch out, everybody. Hey, House, it's pretty clear that this is going to be a two-parter. Can you hang on for part two?
Yes.
All right.
You got it.
Stay tuned for part two of the NBA Ballot podcast with Joe House. And also, we're going to talk a little Caps Bruins at the end.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.